Trust me, you're going to love this.
This is Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Your weekly exploration of the world of fashion and design. Find out what to wear,
what's hot,
what's not,
the latest trends in fashion, and more.
Here's your host, Nicole Steinthal.
We are here today with Andy Alexander, artist and also known as the Grim Reather. Welcome, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
So, Andy, I'm just going to let my listeners know, your name had come up to me because it's the fall and people are starting fall decorating and thinking about Halloween, and you make the most incredible, gorgeous Halloween, spooky but so artistic wreaths. So,
yes, thank you.
I was just like stopped dead in my tracks when I saw them, and I was like, I have got to contact him because this is something that I know my listeners and readers will love.
Well, that's so wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Andy, why don't you tell us, what is your background?
So I have, I went to art school, studied fine art at UCLA and Art Center, which is out here in Pasadena. That's where I live in. I live in Pasadena, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. And I got my master's at Art Center about 15 years ago. And I, while at Art Center, had a pretty kind of robust design school as well. So I took a lot of design courses. And after graduating from art school, I kind of had a dual track of making art, exhibiting in galleries and museums, and have representation through the gallery system. While simultaneously, I also was a creative director. I grew into a creative director. I started off as a designer working in tech, and eventually ended up being a creative director at Napster for about 7 years. And that's my story. Basically, when I studied art, though, and when I make art, it tends to be sculptural, and I studied installation, and California has a big kind of history, or a long history, I guess sort of long history, in making installation art, which is basically kind of all-inclusive art. You know, it's not painting, it's not drawing, it's not sculpture, it's everything, and it's like designing environments. And I was also always fascinated with like horror movies and science fiction, and I love set design. And so I think I used my art, the art in the gallery, as a way to kind of explore being a set designer without having to work for a production company or anything like that. So that's kind of my background, I guess, in a nutshell.
Okay. And how did you come upon the concept of the wreaths?
Well, that's a fun story because, after being a creative director for a while at Napster, I was laid off, right, like toward the end of the recession around 2010. And it was 9 weeks after my husband and I, started fostering an infant who now is our son. We've eventually adopted him. His name's Jack, and he's the love of our life, except we have another baby too, but that's another story. Anyway, so I was laid off, and I decided, because of the situation, we were fostering this little baby boy, and we wanted him to attach properly, and we wanted to give him a good home. My husband and I decided to kind of like split the income in half, and I stay home with Jack and do all the social work required for foster adopting. Mm-hmm. And so taking him to visitations, there's a long way to get there, but taking him to visitations and doing all his therapies that he needed because he had a little bit of special needs. Excuse me. And eventually, as he kind of grew, got older, we have a neighborhood, I guess it's like a, it's kind of like Michael, but it's basic, it's been around for almost 50 years. It's called Staff, and it's during the Halloween season around August. They transform the entire store into like a Halloween wonderland. And then during December, it becomes Christmas. So I would take Jack as he got about, he was about 2 years old. I would take him to the Staff almost every day to look at the Halloween decorations. Mm-hmm. And he's just always loved the Halloween decorations. And so I have a sister-in-law who is, an October baby. Her birthday is, I think it's October 28th or 27th. And we were hanging out at Staff so much, like everybody there knew us, knew Jack. We were hanging out there so much, and I just kind of, I saw this grapevine wreath, which is basically, if you don't know it, it's just like a wreath that is kind of a base for a wreath, like the kind of the armature that a lot of people use to make wreaths. But they usually use it to make, you know, really pretty floral wreaths or Christmas wreaths. And I just thought it was so creepy looking. And then I saw a bunch of kind of skeleton reaper kind of things. And just two and two, it just all kind of came together in a moment. It was like one of those aha moments. And I made her a wreath for her birthday. Uh-huh. And I posted it on Facebook. And when I posted it on Facebook, I knew I had something because, I mean, you wouldn't believe the response. I mean, it was, I've never posted something so popular in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So fast forward, I think it's been 4 or 5 years now, and every year it just gets more and more, the wreaths get more and more intricate, complicated, you know, I think better and better as the years go on, even though I do look back at that original wreath, and it was pretty amazing wreath. So that's how mm-hmm. I kind of got into the wreathing business.
That's cool. So it really was because your baby loved the Halloween store, but you must have had some fatuation with Halloween growing up, like to lean you sort of into going to that store all the time. And was that true?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody, but in particular, I grew up with Halloween as being kind of the beginning of the holiday season. You know, there's like a edginess to it. There's, you know, the in Los Angeles, everyone jokes that there's, you know, or people joke that there's no season in California or in Los Angeles, but there is a definite switch between summer and fall. The light changes. You get the crispness in the air in the evenings, mm-hmm. and then then everyone fertilizes their lawn. So there's this like really strong smell of fertilizer and in LA. And so, yeah, when I was a kid, I mean, I loved it. I loved dressing up and I loved going to get the candy and everything. And then on top of it, you know, as you get older, it becomes a little bit more edgy and there was shaving cream involved and all that kind of stuff. But, the other thing I love, and I've always loved and made artwork both in school and outside of school. When I was showing in galleries, I made a lot of work about horror movies. Not in particular about horror movies, but using horror as a kind of a source of inspiration.
That's great. Now, the wreaths themselves are just so intricate and very detailed and really incredible works of art. Have you ever been motivated to make wreaths around other holidays?
Yeah, absolutely. So the last year, there's a store here called Fred Siebel's. I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Okay. So people at Fred Siebel's wanted me to make, I made Halloween wreaths for them, which was by, you know, my usual. And then they wanted Thanksgiving mm-hmm. wreaths, and then they wanted Christmas wreaths. So for them, I did do that, and they were hung there. And, you know, it was interesting because I'm called the Grim Reaper, and it was particular, I'm interested in Halloween decorations just because they're so inspiring. I mean, they're just so bizarre, and they have this kind of feeling of decay, decomposition. They're, you know, everything is kind of falling apart in the Halloween decoration. So mm-hmm. when I was making a wreath, I kind of was inspired by that. But then when you get into other holidays, you know, in particular Christmas, it's a whole different set of problems when it comes to making something beautiful to hang on your door that's like a work of art. So I did that for Fred Siegel's, and I found the challenges to be totally interesting. And I made one, you can see on the website, it's called McQueen Forever. I think that's what it's called. And so I love Alexander McQueen, as I'm sure all your listeners do too. I mean, he was the god.
The best, right.
And so when I was kind of thinking about like a Christmas wreath, like what would the Grim Reaper's Christmas wreath be? I definitely thought like, you know, a goth Christmas is kind of the way to go, but not a goth in the sense of like, you know, Beetlejuice or anything like that, but goth in the sense of the gothic, you know, the classic gothic, you know, idea or whatever. So, but I mean, I'm up for if anybody has any ideas of wreaths and suggestions of what to do, please, you know, you can email me at info@grimreather.com because, I'm always looking for ideas, and I'm not ashamed to borrow.
No, and I love that you did the Alexander McQueen, and I feel like we have to collaborate on an NS Lifestyles wreath for the
Absolutely.
Audience that we have. We have to really work on that because I think, your work is incredible, and I know my readers would like something, not only a Halloween wreath, because I know a lot of people are going to order them after this, but also something a little special for all the fashionistas out there that we have.
Absolutely.
So, exactly. What mediums do you use besides the wreaths? I saw you had some drawings on your site as well.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I was an installation artist, which is still kind of part of who I am. It's my DNA. It's what I love doing. The challenges with making installation art is that a budget tends to be really big, and that when you're an installation artist, you usually work on a project at a time that could take years to finish, which isn't very practical for someone like me who wants to raise a family and be, you know, have a family life. So what I did, what I decided to do, and I think this ties into why I make the wreaths and I do the drawings like you asked, is I needed a practice, that I was able to do, in between naps or during naps. Mm-hmm. You know, something that was, I could pick up, you know, for an hour or two, at night, you know, while, you know, my husband's making dinner, or if I'm making dinner, I can draw during Halloween. I have wreaths all over the house, and, you know, my materials, and I am just, you know, because I bring them home from the studio, and I like to kind of look at them before I send them off, and so I'm, like, you know, pulling things off and on, and so I needed a practice that allowed me to be creative, that fulfilled that kind of that creative bug and, you know, that installation DNA, but was also practical, like having a family and also bringing an income. You know, I can't afford to be a starving artist. It's not who I am.
Right. Well, I'm sure you do bring in great income because the wreaths are incredible. And I saw just from one Facebook posting, one woman ordered two, somebody else ordered another within like a few minutes, which I was very impressed by.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like I don't do a lot. So I don't do a lot of advertising. I've experimented, and I actually teach in social media as well. At FITM, which is like your FIT, but it's here on the West Coast. And, you know, what I found, frankly, is that when you have a compelling product and it's full of love and full of life and your heart and soul goes into it, you know, everything happens organically. So when I post, it's like I said with that original wreath, I sell wreaths from a post, and I haven't reached out to Google search. I haven't reached out beyond very kind of small networks of people because basically it's like I haven't kind of discussed the process, but you know, I'm in my studio and it's just me, and this year, I've grown, so I have someone helping me out, but I mean, it's me making these wreaths, all of them. And so I only have a certain amount of time, to do it, and I only have a certain amount of product, and you know, once it's gone, it's gone.
Right.
Now, for your listeners as well, if you're interested, if you go on the site, there are a number of pieces are sold out, but I don't want to discourage. It's just very challenging, like as you probably know as well, to have a home business. So what happens is someone buys the piece and then it's sold out. But if someone really likes the piece and says, you know, I want something in the vein of this, or inspired by this, then I'd be able to do it, especially as we're leading up to October. This is like the right time to do it because, come, you know, and also when someone's spending a good amount of money on a piece, you know, on a decoration, then, you know, they want it up for a while. So right now is really, a good time. So feel free. There's an email link on the site, and just, you know, if there's like a color palette or something like that too, then just feel free to ask.
Excellent. Andy, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Go.
You're listening to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Back to Nicole Steinthal.
Hi, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Today I'm speaking with Andy Alexander, the Grim Reather. Welcome back, Andy.
Hello.
So before the break, we're just talking about how if you go on your site, thegrimreather.com, you'll notice that a lot of the wreaths are sold out, but you can email you if there's a wreath that you like or color scheme and you're able to accommodate for the most part. Are the wreaths one of a kind, or are you able to duplicate the design year after year?
So that's a very good question. Every wreath is one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain wreaths. There's a couple ones. There's one called Along Came a Spider, and then there's a number of ones with a pentagram. And even though they're structured the same, my flower selection is always, and they're all fake flowers. All the fake flowers are always different. There's always like a little thing here and there that makes them, you know, unique, but they're based on, those two wreaths are kind of based on the same structure. So, but then there are other wreaths, that are one of a kind. I only had one of those props, never will be able to get that prop again, and they won't be able to be duplicated. And those are, I consider like my couture wreath. So there's like the ready to wear and the couture, you know.
Oh my gosh, I hope I'm getting a couture. Now I'm going to get all crazed. Oh, I want the couture.
I did. I put some special embellishments on yours. Absolutely.
Oh, good. Good. I want the Paris Fashion Week of wreaths, okay?
And your prop is gone, by the way. So there is no more. The prop that I used for yours, I get it. I've gotten it, and I've only found it twice. So there are two of yours, but they're very different. I got at Ross Dress for Less. So you'll be proud to know that I'm also a bargain hunter.
Oh, I love that store. It's right near my parents in Florida. I love that place.
That's amazing.
Okay, so now we're back to my questions here. So we got off the subject. But anyway, you say that you make your wreaths in the studio. So I sort of have a vision of you like feeding a baby, putting a skull on a wreath, like changing a diaper, adding some flowers. So it's not like all part of your day process. So you have studio time, you make the wreaths. Is that right? Is that pretty much how it goes?
Yeah, so absolutely. So, you know, I do have help a couple days a week with the baby right now. We have a 9-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. Her name's Rosalie, and we are in the process of adopting her.
Mm-hmm.
So is kind of like that. I do have a pack and play in the studio. She's 9 months, so she's just crawling. Huh? But really, I want, like, when I work in the studio, I want dedicated time. I have my mom lives down the street, so I have her come and help as well, and she loves babies, so it's kind of a win-win situation. She gets baby, I get studio time.
So basically, I'm just saying, like, the wreaths are so intricate. They're so detailed. Like, it seems to me like it would take a whole day to make one of these. Because
The
placement is incredible. Like, I was just wondering if it's like a long process. Like, you start in the morning, you do your routine, work a little, and so you, how does that go?
Yeah, it is. It is a long process. And it depends on the wreath too. If it's like a completely new concept, the wreath could take days to make. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I have about 3 or 4 wreaths going at a time. And the reason why is because a lot of times I won't send a wreath off if it doesn't, you know, I studied sculpture, and I see things three-dimensionally, and I also see things kind of, I see things, imagistically, for lack of a better term. So a lot of it is about symmetry, balance, and if a flower isn't working, like, you know, it will bother me, so I'll have it up and I'll take the flower down and I'll, so like one of my favorite wreaths is, her name's All Dolled Up, and she's not available anymore. You know, I had that wreath up for weeks. I mean, this wreath took me, it was like a labor of painful labor, because I was constantly taking pieces down and pulling things off and everything like that. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I get up, I go into the studio, and I have a few wreaths going at a time, and it's just constantly working on one and then looking at another and then taking one down, and then, you know, so it's just like that. But I love it. I mean, it's like time. It's not like I'm in, you know, and time flies in the studio. That's my, that's my me time.
It's like therapy time, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I bet.
I couldn't live without it. I mean, it's just like what I said. It's just, you know, I tried, you know, not being an artist for a while, and it just, that doesn't work.
Okay, excellent. Andy, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Back to Nicole Steinthal.
Hi, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. We are talking today to Andy Alexander, the Grim Wreather, about his works of art, amazing Halloween wreaths. Welcome back, Andy.
Hi.
Okay, so before the break, we had gotten a social media question as we're talking here, somebody listening to the show. They said they have gone on the link, they have gone on your site, and they're noticing that there's a few wreaths featured, but maybe everything, the ones say sold out, and there's maybe like 3 or 4 available. What is the process? What should they do? Are more wreaths coming on the site? How can she?
Yeah.
Her question is, how can I order? What can I order?
Yes, I would love to talk about this. There, it's called The Posters, which is spelled theposters.co.
So, theposters.co. Okay.
Yeah. And they're very interesting. So, basically what I did is I teamed up with them, and there are, I think, 5 wreaths for sale on their site. And if you, 5 wreaths. And if you purchase from them, 10% of the proceeds go to arts education. And so, and they're like, you got to check out this website. These people are incredible. The work that they do and the artists that they represent. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's emerging and established artists, and they're very, very, very good artists. And, you also can buy some of my drawings as well, original drawings through them as well. And, they're very cool. So theposters.co, you can see there's a few available on their website too.
Okay, excellent. Or they can email you directly.
Or email me directly, absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. We'll get back to our questions now. which is great that we're getting some feedback already while the show's even still on. So what do you think are some of the, what is integral to the work of an artist?
Couple things. I think that's a really good question. And, you know, and I've read a lot about, you know, the artist practice. And I think that's, you know, just like, and the reason why I use the word practice, I've practiced yoga for, you know, close to 20 years now. It's the same thing. It's a daily habit. You have to have it scheduled into your daily life, and you have to do it every day. You have to wake up, you have to do your thing, and then go into the studio, and you have to be consistent. So, you know, everything I've ever read kind of has said the same thing, and I've just found it to be, you know, the most practical advice. Now, you know, I think that there's a curiosity that you have to have, and curiosity and tenacity and grit, all those kind of things kind of lead into having a productive and enjoyable creative life. Lack of
right. How has your art changed over time?
Well, kind of going back to what we had talked about before, and I think it ties into that last question of, like, how to have a daily practice. One of the struggles I had was, you know, well, it's a kind of interesting story. Just the scale of the work I was doing and showing work in museums and galleries and just doing these kind of large-scale installations. I was working for an amazing artist named Jeff McFetridge. You know, he's did the title sequences for Virgin Suicides, and he's like just an unbelievable illustrator. And I was working for him, and he said to me, you know, we had a conversation. He's like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do the installation. You know, it's just so much work, sculpture. And he's like, why don't you make drawings of your installations? And again, one of those moments kind of similar to being at the floral, you know, plastic flower store. It just was like, it just made sense, and it clicked. And so I did a show at China Art Objects in Los Angeles of drawings of installations that I was really interested in. I really love using the Adobe Illustrator. And so I used Adobe Illustrator to make the drawings. So they're all computer generated drawings, but then I laminated to a half inch thick plexiglass and half inch thick wood, so they became almost like blocks of, you know, objects. They became like a block of plastic and wood with an image sandwiched between. And so that kind of signaled a transition for me from doing the installations into making objects that are kind of like images. And now the wreaths I see are definitely an extension of my practice, where it's funny, like, I see them almost, so as a casual collector, like, I think most people are casual collectors of art. Like, they see something at a gallery, maybe it's a young gallery or an art fair, and they want something to hang on their wall. Not a lot of people collect sculpture. Sculpture is like having kind of an infant that never grows. Like, it's always like needs to be taken care of. In particular, my sculptures, a lot of it was plexiglass and wood and things like that. And when people would buy them, it would be kind of serious collectors who, you know, like the Nortons, who have like a staff of people who are able to collect, or able to, you know, take care of the sculptures, be in rooms that are, you know, properly, heated and cooled and all that stuff. So what I kind of think of the wreath is, even though they look like decorations, I actually think of them more as sculptures, and I kind of think of them as like the Trojan horse of sculptures. So it's like, even though you think you're buying a wreath, you're actually really buying Andy Alexander sculpture. And I love the kind of ceremonial aspect of the wreath as well, where it's not only a sculpture, it's a sculpture that you take out once a year, and it's almost like it becomes like an heirloom, a family heirloom. The kids, I love the idea that kids will be like, oh, let's take out the wreath out of the closet. The way you store the wreath is like, you know, I send, they come in if the wreath is the proper size, it comes in a garment bag that's branded the Grim Reaper on a hanger. And basically, it's so great. You just basically, you hang it up on the door, and when you're done, November 1st, you just put it in the closet and you hang it until next year. And I love the idea that, you know, that people pull out this sculpture that I made once a year and they hang it, and then it's up for a month, and then it goes back in the closet. So it's almost like having a sculpture that has all this, you know, ceremonial kind of juju around it too.
Right.
You know,
so. And that is great because it becomes like a family heirloom. I have three children. My son now this year is just went off to college. He's a freshman, but I used to have like a little thing with them. Like every year we would get a new decoration, whether it be for Halloween or Christmas. And my kids really got into it because they knew like we could get something special for the holiday. I didn't know about your wreaths then, but now thank goodness I do. So now that's our special purchase. But I do think it's like it just really adds to the holiday when you as a family can pick out something and buy it and, you know, just have it year after year. And I know it has been, had been a very special thing for my kids. I mean, we still do it, even though my daughters, one's almost finished with middle school and a high schooler. And now we still, they still look forward to getting that like one special thing for, the holiday decorating.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, that's we do that as well. And I also think there's something to be said about, you know, buying something unique. And even though I do use the kind of the materials of, like I said, Ross, or I, you know, I go to Michael's, but I mean, you know, and I shop and I can talk more about where I purchase stuff. You know, there is something to say about, buying something unique and special handmade out of the stuff that is so mass produced and so, you know, consumer focused, you know, so it does, I do love the idea. Claire Cuspo, who's a, who has a blog called Yummy Fun and, and she has a, she's an amazing artist. She kind of said the word heirloom and that just really rung a bell for me, and I love that idea that it can be passed on. And I try to make the wreath is, you know, it's all hot glued gun and wired, so it should stay really, really, it should stay pretty intact. And then, especially if you store it properly, you can have it for years.
Okay, so basically, you said that the wreaths are wired and hot glued, and tell us about the creation of the wreath, the process from start to finish.
So each one is, you know, I love the structure of the wreath, the circle. And so each one it starts with the grapevine wreath, which is the base. And I've done, I think on my blog, if you click on my blog last year, I'm not a blogger, so I find it challenging. But last year I did a DIY, how to make your own. And you can kind of see what the process is, but you know, I start with the grapevine wreath, and then I have in my studio, which is, you know, my kid loves and every kid loves, comes over, and my studio looks basically like a haunted house. There are you know, bats hanging from the ceiling, there are, you know, ivies everywhere. I try to have all my materials handy, and I usually am really inspired by a specific object when I start a wreath. So, like, for instance, I went to a Halloween convention, and I purchased a antique-looking doorknob. It's a doorknob in a plate, so, like, and it looks like from a haunted house, and it's all cast in resin. So I've been working with that piece, and so then I have all these kind of golden skeleton keys, and so that I got at the bead store in downtown. And so it kind of starts with an object, like, oh, okay, so it's a, you know, a doorknob from a haunted house. It's got to have some skeleton keys, you know, and so I find kind of all these little elements to help tell a story. And I think each wreath is kind of, like a story, that kind of emanates from the central prop, you know? And so from there, then I start decorating with the flowers, and the flowers I feel like tell a story as well. I don't just like put up a flower or put together a flower without thinking of, like, you know, not why that flower is there, but, you know, how that flower became there. And each flower is almost like a sculpture in itself. They're just so beautifully mm-hmm. made. And so a lot of, like, the pagan wreaths I'll use wildflowers just because mm-hmm. I kind of think it fits with that, like, you know, that notion of being out in the wild and having, like, a circle of witches or, you know, good witches and doing their rituals. And then, you know, an eyeball, like, I love this one particular eyeball ornament that I get at a hardware store of all places that has mm-hmm. incredible Halloween selection. So I'll kind of think about the central prop, and then I'll structure the flowers around it. And I also try to buy flowers. Like, I don't, if you notice, a lot of my wreaths don't have your typical fall flowers. I like to use tropical flowers. I like to use flowers that just, like, have a personality that tend to be really bizarre and unnatural. I use, in particular, this one I love, and for some reason she hasn't sold yet, and I have no idea why. She's amazing. I use this giant lotus flower. Mm-hmm. A lotus flower is definitely not something you think of for Halloween, but she's got a purple nightgown, and the lotus flower just kind of sets it off, and the flower adds to the uniqueness and the story that I'm trying to convey in the wreath. And so once I get the flowers all arranged and I wire the flowers in, then I go in with a hot glue gun and I just basically make sure it's all secure. Mm-hmm. I also use, one thing I love is that I use placemats a lot because for some reason in Halloween, they love the spider web placemat. Mm-hmm. And so I use a placemat and I go and I basically, there's a few stores that have them and I just, all season long, I just buy as many as I can. And mm-hmm. I use that as a background for the wreath. I tend to like the wreath to have, to set the whole of a wreath to have a background. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I like to do, I'm sorry, it's kind of a little out of order, is there's this, there's a Spanish moss that you can buy that's like dried Spanish moss. And so I'll just kind of tuck the Spanish moss up in there just to give it feeling like it's falling apart and like, you know, it's coming from a swamp or something. And then there's also this fabric that you can buy, that's this kind of like fabric that a lot of home haunters use to kind of drape over doors and stuff to make the doors look creepy. And I'll just like rip it into shreds and I'll just kind of drape it over. So a lot of the wreaths, they'll say, like, you know, this wreath is, you know, 20 inches in the round, but, you know, has a 4-foot-long drape. And the drape means it's just, like, you know, it's like curtains, you know, ripped-up curtains. Mm-hmm. Is that a good answer?
That is a great answer, and it's perfect because we're going to take our last break now, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
And now, back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. Here's Nicole Steinthal.
Welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. We are here with Andy Alexander, the Grim Wreather. This has been amazing. We've learned so much about the wreaths. I see that where people can order them on your site, thegrimwreather.com. We're also going to put a link to that. We're also going to put another link to another site where we can buy the wreaths. So, Andy, everybody will be able to find you and your gorgeous wreaths. Now, we talked a little bit about the wreaths being an heirloom and families, but who do you think your target audience is for these pieces?
Well, it's a great question. Because my customer is definitely different than my fan base. So the fans that I have on Instagram are Halloween fans. And a lot of people do feel like, do save up for the wreath and kind mm-hmm. of say, okay, next year I'm going to buy a wreath, and they do. But the ideal customer is someone who, you know, that person that says, there's something about Halloween that I just love. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people are finding Halloween is competing with Christmas in terms of excitement for the kids and everything, and they love to decorate the house. They love to get spooky. But there's the customer tends to be a little, I don't want to, they're they're sophisticated. They get the kind of the sense of humor. They get the uniqueness. They want something special that you can't just buy at your local Halloween spirit store. But it's definitely like I've made a conscious effort at this point too. I had an Etsy store, but I took the Etsy store down. I wanted it to be just my store. Mm-hmm. I wanted there to be a connection between the person who purchases my wreath and me, more like the way I make art, where there's a connection between me and the collector through the object. So mm-hmm. I think it's someone that understands that. You know, a lot of the people who buy my wreath, like kind of what we talked about before, like someone will post that they just bought a wreath and then I'll make 5 sales off that post or something mm-hmm. through their network of friends. I think there is something to say about that connection between me and someone else and then their kind of, their network of friends and them all connecting through me. I find that really special, you know? Mm-hmm. It's something that doesn't happen necessarily through other ways of selling. I don't sell my wreath in stores because, you know, again, the wreaths are very expensive to make, and you know, people look at the wreath and they're like, oh, you know, $250 or whatever, $150. They're like, that's a lot to spend. The wreath cost me a great deal to make, and they take a lot of time and they take a lot of love. And if I was to sell them in the store, I would have to sell them for twice as much. Mm-hmm. Also, if you look at like things like Grandin Road and stuff like that, or Pottery Barn, or even Michael's, who sells wreaths, they sell wreaths for a lot of money, and and they're not handmade.
Right. So I was just going to say, you can go into the front of Michael's, or at least my Michael's here in New York, and the employees will make like a pumpkin and stick a million things in it, and like a, you know, one of those fake pumpkins, and it's like on sale for $99, and it's just a little kind of thing. So, you know, I think people are willing to spend a little more because this is something they're going to have for many years. Some of the better decorations I've had, my kids, we've used them every year. Now I pass them down to my nephews. They use them. For their decorations. So it's really something of quality, and it's beautiful, and it's like, it's art.
And it's made with love from me, right. You know, and people say that all the time. And that's one of the things I respond to the most, is that they see the joy in making them. And it's like when I'm in the studio, I'm in the flow, I'm in the zone. And right. I think you can see that when you see objects, I think they have souls, and you could tell if it's, you know, you could tell if it's, you know, has love in it. And so I'm hoping that people see that with my stuff.
They definitely will. So, Andy, what is next for you?
Well, this has been a great year. And with my drawing, you know, I can't say, you know, what designer. There's a designer that your fan base all knows and loves, a New York designer that's going to be using my drawings for embroideries and prints for their next collection. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I would love to reach out to you again and talk to you about that. My drawings are very different, than the wreath, but they're kind of the same in, I think psychically, or psychologically, they're kind of similar. You kind of escape into them. But, so I'm working on that, with this designer. So excited for it because I've always wanted to see my drawings on fabric. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a book for the Grim Reather. So anybody who, you know, loves the wreath, you know, doesn't have room or doesn't have a place where they could display them, I'm doing a book, of the wreath, basically kind of a, public, like it's going to be like the wreath through the year. So not just this season, but multiple seasons. And that's going to be really, I'm very excited about that. I'm working on that with a book designer.
Wow. That's excellent. So we will definitely look out for that. We're dying to hear about the designer collaboration. You are going to come back and tell us all about that. We are going to list your Grim Reaper site. We're also going to list the other site you gave us,
theposters.co
on our site as well. I have, oh my goodness, one last very quick question. I promise I have another social media question. Andy, these wreaths have to be displayed in a covered area, obviously, because they're so intricate. So either indoors or if they're outside, they should be under some kind of protection.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Andy, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I hope everybody runs out and orders their wreath for Halloween. They're incredible. We loved having you. Happy Halloween, and we'll have to have you back soon.
Yay, thank you very much, Nicole. It's been such a pleasure. I really, really appreciate it.
Wonderful. We'll be back next week with Up to the Minute with Nicole.